have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Christmas all over the world. We've come with a simple reminder. Don't forget Jesus, the Savior of the world. Don't forget, He is the reason for it all. Let's sing it, friends.
There would be no Christmas without Jesus. now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. One of the biggest traps that many people fall into, particularly during the holiday season, is the overuse of credit cards. Credit card companies make it sound so easy. They give you credit and tell you that as long as you make the minimum payment each month, you'll be fine. Remember, in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7, God tells us that the borrower is servant to the lender. God's will is for us to not have debt. Of course, there are situations where you must enter into debt, but we should seek God in all circumstances to ensure that you are in His will. If you are, He will give you provision to satisfy these debts reasonably and without financial stress or long-term discomfort. So the best option is to minimize use of your credit cards. But if you must use them, generally a good rule of thumb is paying at least 2 times the minimum due on the low end. More preferable would be to seek to pay off amounts owed within 12 months. So if you want to charge $1,000 worth of purchases, you should plan to pay at least $100 a month to cover the $1,000 plus applicable interest within the 12-month period. If in completing your budget you cannot do this, you should reconsider whether making these purchases are truly necessary. Another consideration when charging on credit cards is to minimize the use of the available credit. A rule of thumb would be to seek to use no more than 30% of your total credit line. Creditors consider people who utilize more than 30% of their available credit a higher risk. Ultimately, this leads to lower credit scores. Your debt to available credit ratio actually accounts for 30% of your overall credit score. So if you have a $5,000 credit line, you should use no more than $1,500. If you already have debt that exceeds 30% of your credit line, you should make every effort to pay down your debt on that credit card, starting with the highest debt credit card first. If you have savings, use it to pay down credit card debt. Keep in mind that in our current economy, a savings account generally is providing less than 2% interest from the bank. Meanwhile, you are paying interest on that credit card at a rate of probably at least 15%. So you are much better off taking some of your savings to pay down debts. Finally, the most important aspect of managing your credit cards is to always pay them on time. Between late fees and the impact on your credit scores, it is very costly when payments are not made on time. Don't fall into the credit card trap. While the short-term benefits of making significant purchases on credit may seem gratifying, in the long run, more than likely the pain of it will be revealed. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner with Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr., Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Apostle Vincent Smith, and company.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor, and here is this week's Gospel News. As a gospel singer, songwriter, author, actress, and motivational speaker, Jacalyn Carr made her name in the mid-2010s, earning her first hit at the age of 15 and releasing a string of increasingly successful albums, including 2016's The Life Project and 2018's Grammy-nominated One Nation Under God. Along the way, the West Memphis-based gospel artist made her debut in 2010 with her EP, Promise Over Your Life. In 2012, Jacalyn Carr landed a hit with Greater Is Coming, which became the title track to her debut album in 2013. The album climbed into the Billboard Top 200 and debuted at number 3 on Billboard's Top Gospel Albums. It earned her a Stellar Award. Her 2014 sophomore outing, It's Gonna Happen, peaked at number 9. In early 2016, Carr issued You're Bigger, the lead single from her forthcoming third LP, The Life Project, which dropped later that August. She released the hit single You Will Win and published an inspirational book of the same name in early 2018. Jacalyn Carr's fourth long player, One Nation Under God, followed in 2018, topping the gospel charts and earning her 2 Grammy nominations. She made her film debut in the family drama Never Heard. The lush standalone single I See Miracles arrived in 2019 with the motivational song Changing Your Story later that year. We're in the 2021 holiday season, and though you hear everyone talking about going home for the holidays, the truth is every now and then, some folks, myself included, would like to get away for a long-anticipated holiday vacation. You don't even have to sacrifice time with your family. You can bring them along. Here's the Gospel News Top 10 list of Christmas vacation getaways. Number 10, Washington, D.C. Our nation's capital is an ideal place for holiday Christmas trips. Thanks to the jaw-dropping celebrations, the lights and the spectacles, and of course plenty of holiday shopping in Georgetown, there are no shortage of stately decorative trees. Number 9, Savannah, Georgia. This stunner of a southern city is well worth the visit all year round, but it's especially charming for couples in the winter. Number 8, Cape May, New Jersey. New Jersey's Victorian seaside town, Cape May, turns into a gorgeous Christmas village with everything from candlelit trolley tours to holiday tree lighting and so much more. Number 7, Los Cabos, Mexico. Head south for the winter and enjoy the delights of Christmas in Cabo. Traditional celebrations include a 12-day Virgin of Guadalupe and a 3-day Wiseman tour. Number 6, Charleston, South Carolina. Charming Charleston is the perfect exploration spot for Christmas trips when the city is less crowded and the lights and the celebrations are in full glory. Number 5, Nashville, Tennessee. If you're looking for a place that won't feel totally shut down at Christmas time, Music City won't disappoint. Number 4, New York City. The city that never sleeps has something for everybody during the Christmas season. Number 3, San Antonio, Texas. San Antonio's famed Riverwalk is especially gorgeous during the temperate holidays. Christmas lights and the highs are in the mid-60s. Number 2, Seaside, Georgia. For a southern-style Christmas, look no further than the luxurious island of Sea Island, Georgia. And number 1, the number 1 Christmas getaway is Orlando, Florida. There's so much more to Orlando than theme parks. When it comes to Christmas vacations for families, Orlando is perfect during December when the days are sunny but not sweltering and the nights are blissfully breezy. Here's this week's Top 10 Gospel Songs. Number 10, Israel and New Breed with Hymn of Breakthrough. Number 9, Karima with Redeemer. 8, Maurice Griffin, Love, Peace, Happiness. 7, Kalante Gavin, Great. 6, CeCe Winans, Believe For It. 5, Damon Little, Stand Up. 4, Jordan Armstrong, My God. 3, Phoebe Winans, In Jesus' Name. 2, Jonathan Nelson featuring Purpose with Manifest. And once again at number 1, Jermaine Dolly with I'll Go. Well, that's your top 10 songs, your top 10 vacation getaways for the Christmas holidays, and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor reminding you to connect with me on all social media outlets. You can find all my outlets on my website at msninataylor.com. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
Hi, this is Kimmy Kim with the Pastor's Corner. I do see Bishop.
I am so sorry. I'm talking, sis. I'm talking, and I'm muted. Okay? So let me start from the beginning. And don't go nowhere, Sister Kimmy Kim. I'm going to start with you first tonight. Let's try this one more time. Take two. Well, good evening to you, and also to you. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr. This is the Pastor's Corner. We want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in wherever you are listening to us from, whatever radio station or outlet or social media outlet that you may be picking us up on. We thank God for you taking this time. And thank you, Sister Kimmy Kim. Charge that one to my head and not to my heart. Usually I have my mic open and ready to go, but in the midst, sometimes you multitask and all it takes is you to forget that one thing. And the next thing you know, you're like in the boat all by yourself. Anyway, the bottom line is simply this. God is good, and he's greatly to be praised. We're going to have a great show tonight. And before we take launch, we're going to find out who is on. I know Pastor Anna Henderson and Minister Kim Henderson will not be with us tonight. And they already let me know, and I so bless God for them. Apostle Whitlow is running late. But let me see if Apostle Vincent L. Smith is here. My brother, have you made it to the promised land? Or the challenge land, whatever you want to call it.
Yes, I'm only up here. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. In line for the president to sign with a few other people. Oh, hallelujah. I thought we were learning tonight. All right, let us go into the house of the Lord and see
Amen.
What we have.
Yes. All right. It's so happy and so glad to hear your voice. Now let us move down to Apostle Felicia Flight. Have you made it in? Has the plane landed? Are you in your vacation spot? Hallelujah.
Y'all know I am here, and people dying that ain't never died before. I'm trying to figure that out.
You know what? I am so not messing with you tonight, okay?
Hey,
there's
y'all.
A first.
It's Paula Bean.
Oh, my God. I ain't messing with you. Anyway, so happy to have you. Let me check. Now, of course, I always go last, but by no means least. But before I introduce my she's not last, she's actually first, but we save her for last because every good program has to have a good foundation. Is there anyone else that I may not be aware of that might be on our program tonight? I want to acknowledge you. If so, at this particular point in time, please make yourself known. Going once. All right, going twice. All right, going for the third time. Okay, there'll be no others. Now, as I already said, every program has a good, solid foundation, and I want to take a moment to say hello to, and I'm not necessarily welcoming her in. She's actually welcoming us in. I want each and every one of you to say, give a hearty hand clap and hello to Dr. Kimmy Robinson, our producer. How are you today, my sister?
I'm
hey,
good,
Kimmy.
But Apostle Smith is on. Hello.
We already talked to Apostle Smith. We already spoke to Apostle Smith.
I didn't hear him. Okay, I'm just making sure I heard him. I didn't hear him.
You know what? I'm going to jump through these wires. The Bible says lay hands on me and no man. But please don't make me jump through these wires, okay?
Kim, I'm finding out every day. I'm finding out every day. I'm just not important.
Oh my goodness.
Really? Oh, yeah, important.
Apostle Felicia, did you hear that? Did I not mention
all
him
y'all
before
important.
I mention you? Yeah, well, see,
I'm
here's the problem
see what
here.
Saying.
We can't.
I can't see.
No, you don't have to
see. See
what here's
what
saying. I'm saying, okay? We got everybody talking. I'm going to talk. I can't mess with African Americans today. I want to mess with black people today. No, let's change that. I don't want to mess with black people today. I want to mess with African Americans today. Well, don't tell them. I ain't going to say it on air because we have a multicultural listening audience, and those of you that understand what I just said know what I just said. Stop yawning on my show. What's wrong with you? Anyway,
the
bottom line is
the Niggalations,
No, we're not going to do the book of Niggalations, all right? We ain't going to Negro 2 and 2 either. So we're going to try to stay as biblical as possible.
Amen.
All right, now
tonight, praise you, Jesus.
We're going to do this. I'm going to ask everybody to keep themselves down for a few minutes as we set the show up because we got too much loose stuff going on around here. All right, let's get this together. Primarily, stop laughing in the middle of my show, too. Primarily, the bottom line is this. We're coming down to the end of the year. We have less than 28 or 29, maybe 30, 29 days left in the month, in the year 2020. And yet and still, we're running across individuals in this day and time, this late in the year, who made promises to themselves, who made declarations for themselves, who did a lot of things that they said they were going to do. And here we are at the end of the year, and they look back over what they've been through, and they realize that they have not accomplished that which they sent out to do. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open my Bible. I'll do the reading this time. We're going to start in two passages of scripture. This is the start tonight. This is just the start. And then we are going to bounce for the rest of the month into this, except for what the ladies do on the third Thursday. We'll talk about that later. I'm going to ask Apostle Smith if he would pray us in. I'm going to read the scripture. I'm going to begin my dissertation. So if you please do it in that order, I would be ever so grateful. Hallelujah.
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for everything thou hast said. We thank you for every listening ear that God, they will open up their ears, man, and allow wine and oil to be poured in tonight, every hurting place. Touch that place, God, that needs to be driven into a deeper faith walk. Let it touch every place, God, tonight that needs a closer relationship with you, our Father. Now, God, we pray that you would help us. Give us revelation. Give us proclamation. Give us that the people need. In Jesus' name, we give you praise now. Amen.
If we'll be so kind as to open our Bibles, if we can, to the book of the Gospel according to Matthew, I'm going to look at Matthew chapter 14. And I did say I was going to use verses, I'm not going to read the whole thing, so I'm going to skip down heavily, 28 through and 29. And I'm only going that far because, I mean, I could talk about it from verse 22 all the way down to verse 33. We're going to talk about Jesus walking on the water, but we're going to take it from a different approach today. Verse 28 says, and I'm going to stop. I'm going to start at verse 25. It makes sense. Let's do this. It says in verse 25, now in the fourth watch of the night, and for those of you that may be wondering what I'm reading from the New King James Version, and actually, let me do something here. I want to skip from the New King James. I want to go to the Amplified because I want to get as much clarity out of this as I can. So let's do the Amplified Classic Version. Give me 37 seconds, and I promise you I will be on this like white on rice, okay? The white on rice. No comments, please. It says from the Amplified Classic Version, and in the fourth watch between 3 and 6 a.m. of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they screamed out with fright. But instantly he spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, I am. Stop. Take courage, I am. Stop being afraid." And Peter answered him, said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Let me put this back in here. I got to do these two. I guess I am going further than I want to. But when he perceived and felt the strong wind, he was frightened. When he perceived and felt the strong wind. He was frightened, and as he began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me from death." Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and held him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. The word of God for the precious people of God. Tonight, for a subject that's going to carry us to the end of the year, I'm asking this question. Why do you have an electric fence around your comfort zone? Let me say that again. Why do you have an electric fence around your comfort zone? Now, we understand basically how an electric fence works. We know that it's wire that's been set up, and when most animals, and that's what it's used for, is animals, get too close to the fence or making an attempt to go in between the wires of the fence, they receive basically an electric shock. It's an eye-opener and a wake-up call to let them know that they are in the parameters of that fence. This is their trap, if I could use that word. This is their enclosure, if I can use that word. This is as far as they are able to go without receiving any harsh treatment, if I could use that phrase. And someone asked the question, can you touch an electric fence and not get shocked? Well, if you have gloves on and they do not conduce if they do not conduct electricity, yes, you can. It wouldn't be wise, because it's that one time that the glove is wet that you touch it that you do go to Fry City on that. Now let me move into what I want to talk about tonight. Let me say Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and verse 1 simply says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, when you look at that particular verse of Scripture, it really lets us know that there is an opportune time to do everything, a right time for everything on the earth. It also helps us to understand that if we are to discover God's will and God's plan for each and every one of our lives, we will have to understand the purpose of our very existence. And I'm trying my best not to get into it, but since we're building a foundation tonight, let's go ahead and finish building that foundation. What I'm trying to express to somebody that might be listening, and I know it sounds like I'm preaching, but I'm trying to get through this dissertation so that I can get to the question and answer and discussion portions of our radio show. Some of you listening may not be aware of the fact that God has a plan in place for each and every one of your lives. Anybody that's ever been born, God had a specific plan and a specific purpose for your particular life. I want you to lose the idea that you showed up on the face of this earth just because some said that it was some sort of accident that your parents claim to have had. I want you to understand that you are not some mistake at the lake. You are not some Motel 6 experience or Super 8 happening that was formulated in some sleazy hotel or in the backseat of your daddy's caddy or whatever kind of car your daddy may have had. God knew exactly how you would come into the face of this earth. God knew exactly how you would come into existence, and God had a specific purpose that not only you would be able to fulfill. The only person that could fulfill the purpose that God has called you for is you. Now, there may be 10 people with the same purpose, but each purpose has a different avenue that it has to take to get to the fulfilling of its particular destiny. Now, I got to just very quickly mention two basic elements that will help you to fulfill your requirements, and it will take, and what it would take for you to find out what it is that our Father in heaven wants us to do. We talked about one so many times. Even on this program, we've talked about the first element, meaning faith, and the Bible has a lot to say concerning faith, and it's through the reading of Scripture that we learn about the nature of faith. We learn about the ability of faith. We learn about the power of faith. When we listen with the ears of our spirit, we can hear faith's testimony. When the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, we see the various illustrations of faith in action. And from those biblical accounts of faith in action, we come to understand just how faith operates. We learn what faith is. We learn how much faith can work. We learn how much it would take to change a situation, a condition, and or a circumstance. Now, I'm going to try my best to kind of close this in because there's so much that goes with this. And I want to talk about that electric fence, and I want to talk about your comfort zones because tonight's lesson plan has a lot to do with that. I want to make mention also that in his epistle to the church at Rome, Apostle Paul did remind us that every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl has a measure or a certain amount of faith that has been given to each and every one of us, and God is calling each and every one of us to take our place and to fill our space in that timepiece called life that he has provided for each of us. And if it's not our intention or our desire to take our place in God's plan in our life, if it's not our intention or not our desire to fill our space in the ministry that God has set aside specifically for us, then you better come to understand how vitally important it is for you to know as well as comprehend what faith really is. I'm going to leave that alone for a minute because there's so much more that I want to share. I want to get to the scripture that we are working with. We find here in this particular passage of scripture where Jesus, and most of them label it, Jesus walks on the water, and that is true. But they leave so many different things out in talking about Jesus walking on the water. We turned around and started talking about, oh, Lord, I lost my there it is right there. We started talking, I believe it was in verse 23 or something like that, you know, and we began to talk about what was going on. But I said I wanted to focus in on verses 28 and 29, but I said I had to go up just a little bit. I turned around and started at verse 22. I said he directed the disciples to get in the boat and go before him to the other side, and he sent the crowds away. And after he dismissed the multitudes, he went into the hills by himself to pray. When evening was come, he was still there alone. Here it is right here. But the boat was by this time on the out on the sea, many furlongs. A furlong is 1/8 of a mile distant from the land, beaten and tossed by the waves, and the wind was against them. Now, verse 25, which is actually our start point, gives us a time frame of where it was, so we know it was early morning. Let's talk about why is there an electric fence around your comfort zone. You're probably saying to yourself right now, what does all of this mean? Well, I made mention of what I made mention of what God has planned and purposed for each and every one of us, but many of us never get to fulfill our destiny because we have put ourselves in a zone. We have put ourselves in a position whereby we're not going to move any further than we are. We'll take a step or two here and there, but when things start getting uncomfortable, when things look like they're just too difficult to handle, when the billows are rolling, when the waves are tossing, while the wind is blowing, we turn around and we kind of get a little fraidy scared. There is another passage of scripture over in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 that talks about conditions, and when certain conditions are, we're willing to move, and when certain conditions are not what we expect them to be, we will sit there. I know it talks about it in Ecclesiastes 3, talks about the clouds being full of rain, they will empty themselves, and when a tree falls to the north or the south, wherever that tree falls, that's where that tree stays. All that is just a replica of what we do in our lives on a day-to-day basis. We're not willing to empty ourselves when we're full. We're not willing to go in the direction that God is pushing us. We'd rather sit there and fight against the elements and fight against what's going on. So here's a question again. Why is there an electric fence around your comfort zone? Verse 28, I'm going to skip, and then here we go. Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. Here's where we really want to pay attention. I like what Peter did here. Now, when I ask about this electric fence, somebody answer this question. There were 12 disciples in the boat. Am I right? Somebody? Anybody?
Yeah.
Were there 12 disciples in the boat? Okay. If there were 12 disciples in the boat, how come only one had the courage to even get out of the boat and come toward Jesus? And we're going to talk about what Peter did to even get out of the boat to talk to Jesus in relation to what we're talking about in the electric fence. How come Peter was the only one? How come John didn't open his mouth? How come the sons of Zebedee didn't open their mouth? How come Matthew and the rest of them? How come Thomas didn't open his mouth? How come nobody else except Peter had the courage?
You know, Peter was the bold one, though.
So uh-huh.
That's why Peter stepped out first. Because if mm-hmm. Peter did it, then everybody else will follow.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think about the charge that Peter had. See, Peter was a leader and a follower, but again, Peter was a bold man.
Uh-huh.
He didn't fall for everything. He stood flat footed. Peter was a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Peter.
Mm-hmm.
You know he cussed you too. But Peter, I believe that Peter was very bold. He was very
uh-huh.
bold. And he wasn't maybe not so much as being ashamed of speaking up of, but Peter was just it was just that's all I could say about him. Peter was that was my brother.
Okay.
My brother.
You want to say add something to that apostle?
I think Peter had a desire.
Uh-huh.
And a will and a hunger to go beyond the norm, to do as it was said in Star Trek. I believe Peter had that spirit that said, I want to go where no other man has dared go before. He had a spirit of excitement and a spirit that said, I want more than just a chance to walk and talk with the man. I want to
mm-hmm.
be like the man. And that's what he
mm-hmm.
said. I want to be like the man, not just walk and talk with him.
Okay. All right. Well, and I like what both of you said. Dr. Kimmy Kim, you want to throw your 20 cents in?
You know what? I am a Peter. I'm more bold like that, and that's my problem too. So there are times I would like to prove sometimes that I believe in the Lord, and then sometimes I do too much. And so when you do, well,
mm-hmm.
I think sometimes Peter was showing us sometimes we can do stuff before we realize what we're doing, and then the moment that you look back and realize, like, wow, you're doing this, and then you start to think. That's because we tend to focus on ourselves. So sometimes when God gives us a purpose, it's bigger than us. We can't do it by ourselves. And it requires cooperation. And it requires people to come together. It requires, most importantly, Him. And so I think sometimes when we take our focus off of God, we will have that panic moment that Peter did, start panicking. And so that's why it's important that we be careful on what we pray for, because it says in the Bible, He will give you what you ask for, if it's His will, of course. But
all right.
Peter is bold. I like Peter. Peter is bold.
Okay. I just want to make sure you were finished. I wasn't trying to cut you off. The question I want to ask, describe to me in your own words what an electric fence would look like to you. Doesn't have to be any correct answer. I'm not looking for an exactly right answer. I'm looking for your opinion right now. Let's start with you, Apostle Smith.
An electric fence to me, off the top of my head, looks like a stopper.
Mm-hmm.
It
okay.
says go further. When I need an electric fence, it tells me to go no further.
Uh-huh.
But
All right.
I don't know. If I said the rest of my answer, I might be going too far. Go to somebody.
No, go ahead. You can go. Listen, you can go as far as you want because we can backtrack. This is one of those teaching sessions where we can backtrack as often as we need to.
Well, here's the thing about the electric fence
mm-hmm.
is that no matter what side you're on, it's the same on every side.
Okay.
You can't come in and you can't get out. That's enough.
All right. How about you, Apostle Flight?
I like that one. You can't get in, you can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one.
Okay.
But see, to me, it's, like, it's still a border. It's a border for protection.
Yes. Yes.
A border for protection. So
can it also? Can I ask you this question? Can it also be a border of hindrance? Can it be a border of hindrance?
I was getting ready to go there.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Let me shut up. Let you finish talking.
No. You're fine. You're fine. You're fine. That's what we
you're
do.
Good
I
look,
am
you're good looking
people.
Too, but I am not talking about how good we look. I'm talking about the answer here.
But see,
all right,
thing
Dr.
About
Kimmy
it
Kim.
Is that,
go ahead.
I don't know when you guys are finished.
I need you guys, do me a favor. When you guys complete your sentence, just say, I'm going to stop right there. That way I know you're finished.
Okay,
I don't want to cut
right
over the top
I'm
of you.
Stop. Go ahead.
All right, Kimmy
right
Kim.
Go ahead, Kimmy. Well, when I think of an electric fence, I think of if you try to pass this electric fence, you're going to get executed. And it is a sign of protection. I see that God is keeping you in the fence for some reason. So don't go past the fence. Don't go outside of your lane. I see a lot of variation. So that would be what I would say.
Okay, and that's I would say, admirable on all sides. I ask that question because in life, we are often challenged to go above and beyond what it is that God may have prescribed for us. Okay, in life, we find ourselves in a position whereby we have opportunity to do something, but because we view or look at whatever that opportunity it is, we count it as astronomical, as bigger than what our level of faith and the naturalness of our mind is able to comprehend, and therefore it creates a fearfulness in us that would cause us to draw back as opposed to go forward. And looking at this electric fence, we tend to stay in what's called a comfort zone. When we look at this passage of scripture, I don't want to put too much into it, but I have to make sure that we get the clear understanding. When we talk about spending our energy and allowing our faith to push us, you know, we deal daily with the waters of life. And how many times have we tried to accomplish various tasks on strength, only to find out that in our own selves, we're working twice as hard and going fast nowhere? How many times have we seen ourselves in a position where we're spinning our wheels, but we're still in the same place? I want to make mention of the fact that I'm using the boat tonight as a representation of that place of comfort and safety. I'm using the boat tonight as a place of familiar surroundings that we're just so well acquainted with. It is that place in ministry where we just get so used to doing the same thing day in and day out the same way until we can literally do it with our eyes closed. I could go ahead and pick on, before COVID came, the church and what it was like every time you showed up for service on that given Sunday morning. When God would allow you to rise and get ready for service, you would get there like there's no real need to rush to get there. You got up and you already had the entire program memorized. Some of you knew exactly what time the praise team was going to start. Some of you knew what time the choir was going to sing the first song. You knew what time, if your choir marched in, you knew what time they were marching in. They were not going to march in before 11:15 and not after 11:16. And if you came in the choir stand, didn't have your robe on, the choir director usually would kick you out the choir stand. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You already knew the first song they were going to sing, what time the pastor was going to offer altar prayer, and what time the offering was going to be taken. You knew what time the pastor was going to preach, and you had an idea how long he or she was going to preach, and what time the service was going to be out, you know. And what I'm trying to say basically is we seem to have lost our expectancy for the move of God. We don't seem to want to enter into his gates with real thanksgiving. We don't seem to want to enter into his gates, you know, with praise in our hearts and joy in our hearts, excuse me, and praise on our lips. We no longer seem to want to enter his courts with praise. We've allowed ourselves to get comfortable with our surroundings, and we're content in wading through the shallow waters of mediocrity. God tonight is going to challenge us, and throughout the course of this month, to get out of that comfort zone, to get out of that boat. It is time to turn off the electricity that you have on that fence that surrounds your comfort zone. And when I say fence, I'm looking at excuses that we put around us for not doing what we need to do, for not taking care of the business we need to take care of, for not moving forward when the Spirit of God is encouraging you to go ye therefore into all the world. You know, the Jeffersons is coming on in 5 minutes, and I don't want to miss this episode. George is supposed to divorce Wheezy or whatever the case may be. And then let me say this too, talking a lot tonight because there's a lot to this. When you look at the water, in this case, it's going to represent those trials, the troubles, the persecutions, life situations, financial woes, and various circumstances that we have to deal with from day to day. And that these things have a way of causing our day-to-day living to become more difficult than it really ought to be. I'm reminded sometimes by James in James chapter, I believe it's chapter 1, verse 2. It's either verse 2 and 3 or verse 2 or verse 3. It's the one that says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of, it's both 2 and 3, I believe it is, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Some of us have been convinced ourselves that we are the only one facing problems, facing difficulties. And for that reason, we don't want to turn off the electric fence that surrounds our comfort zone. We'd rather stay in the boat, so to speak. We'd rather stay right where we are. And see, what I'm looking at here, let me ask this question. Do you know anybody like that? And if it's you, just say ouch. Do you know anybody that's like that? No matter how you encourage them to get up and get moving, and a couple of you on here are pastors or at least in pastoral positions, and I know, Dr. Robinson, you do some counseling. There are others who would have been with us. They haven't made it, but have you found individuals that fall into that category?
Yes, I have.
Go ahead.
What if you need to say yes and ouch?
If you need to say yes and ouch, then say ouch first and yes second.
You know, let me tell you, though.
Before you say it, Apostle Smith, I forgot. Let me do it. Ouch, yes. Go ahead.
Let me say that when I was coming up in younger years, I was down south, and I knew nothing at all about an electric fence. They were brand new, so to speak. They were brand new. I mean, except for the fences where you saw big power plants or whatever. But I'm talking about that little fence they were calling a power fence. And me and my cousin were walking along. And so my cousin said to me, he looked down. He said, what you got on? I said, my sneakers. He said, oh. He said, put your foot up here on this wire. He never told me it was an electric fence. He said, put your foot up here on this wire. I said, what you want to put my foot up there? Man, just put your foot up there. I put my foot on that wire, and there was an electrical, not shock, I didn't get shocked, but there was an electrical current.
That's right.
Through my entire body, that was so powerful. As long as I kept my foot on that electric line, I was power. And when I felt it, he scared me, and I told my cousin to pull me back. You know what he said? Not as long as your foot is up there. He said, while your foot is up there, you are the same current that lion had.
Yes, yes. And it was like you said, it was a stopper.
Yes,
sir. Stopped you dead in your tracks.
And the thing about it was,
go ahead.
He said if I had picked up both feet and went to cross there, then I would have felt the jump.
Mm-hmm. You probably would have died.
Never mind, probably would have.
All right. Apostle Flight.
Yeah.
I'm just listening to you, what you have to add to it.
Well, I don't know what it's like to be electrocuted. I know what it's like to be shot because I've touched something, you know, my hand was wet or whatever. But with an electrical current like that, that's how God's trying to shock us. He's trying to give us power. And we won't receive it because we're scared, we're complacent.
Well, you know what? And I'm glad you used that word scared. Because Dr. Kimmy, if you want to throw anything in, Dr. Kimmy Robinson?
Well, I just want to say I agree with everything that was said. Amen.
Lord have mercy. Anyway, I'm going to let that go.
Come on, Kimmy.
You know I can.
You can't get mad at me,
right?
Okay, you can't get.
I'm not getting mad at
you. You can't get mad at me because I agree.
Stop. Why do you always think I'm getting mad at you or about to challenge you? Don't do that to yourself. I don't want you to do that to you. I'm not going to let you do that to yourself. Because it ain't about what I think. This is what your belief is, your opinion, your portion of the conversation. Okay,
amen.
Then I'm going to let it go. But I also know when you ain't paying attention to. I just want to throw that in there. Anyway, let's move forward.
I'm paying attention, trust me. I'm producing, making sure I get.
But
I saw Elder.
That's why I'm trying.
I saw Apostle Smith drop. So I have to make sure he got back on.
Yeah.
All
right. When he's back on, just let us know. But listen, let's move forward.
Oh, he's back on.
All right. You're black? Okay, that's good to know. I'm real good. I'm graham cracker and chocolatey and good to the – oh, never mind. Let's move on. Anyway, next page.
Help you.
I'm brown.
You know, now, listen, I wanted to say this. The reason why I'm harping on this, because I said in the outset that in this season that we are in, during these holidays, people go through depression. They go through despondency, anguish of mind. They feel pressures. They feel hurt because of the loss of loved ones. They look at where they've been over the year. They've not accomplished what they set out to do, and they are so disappointed with the progress that they've made. And some have convinced themselves that they're the only one facing these situations and facing these circumstances. I hate to be the one to burst your bubble, my friend, but whoever's listening to us worldwide, wherever you may be, you have to understand that there is an entire world out there that is facing what you are going through at this particular moment. You may not know their name. You may never see their face, but they are going through some of the same things you're going through. And please allow me this opportunity to inform all of you of something that the Holy Spirit gave Apostle Peter to share with us. If you open your Bible and read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, you'd find this in the King James. It simply said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened you." I like the first two words in verse 13 of chapter 4. It says, "But rejoice." It goes on to tell you that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and that God's glory is upon your life. So if you are going through, if you are being pressed on every side, But yet you see this electric fence, this thing that's stopping you from crossing over and out of your comfort zone to move into the area of ministry that God is calling you to. I would simply say this to you, and Apostle Smith already shared with us what happened to him when he touched an actual live fence. If you trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your path. There is a way out of that electric fence. But you have to put on the coat of faith. You have to wear the shoes of trust. You have to have on the hat of assurance, knowing that God is going to keep your mind, whose mind is stayed on him. And as long as you stay in your boat, as long as you stay in your comfort zone, as long as you stay in your place of safety, I swear I feel like I'm preaching tonight, as long as you stay in your place of safety and try not to try to roll your way through your problems all by yourself, you never get to find the strength you need to overcome. Anybody agree or disagree with that?
Can I say something?
Go ahead, sir.
First of all,
welcome. Welcome, Apostle Whitlow. She didn't tell us she came in. Sister Kimmy Kim, that's strike two. I'm about to fire my producer, y'all.
Here.
Go ahead. She didn't say she didn't tell us you were here. She did not tell us that you were here.
She don't love me like she love y'all. That's why. Anyway,
okay.
let me say this. First thing is this, that some people are in their comfort zone, and they don't know how to act if they were to come out. For instance, let me give you an example. I know of certain individuals. They have been up for parole. But because they have been in prison for so long, they've been incarcerated for so long, what they do is they purposely and intentionally mess up their parole hearing. Why? Because all they know is behind the walls of a cell.
Okay.
Freedom to them is a threat to their cell. Saying that to say this, some people are in bondage and they're afraid to come out because they don't know how to operate outside of bondage, and they feel or they have a sensing that they will end right back up there. That's because of the strong man that has been in their life, that has held the grip so long that even when the strong man is gone, they still have that stronghold that says, I can't leave where I'm at or something is going to go wrong. There is a fear, and I think Apostle said it best when she said that people have a limit or a boundary, so to speak, a property line that they will not go past because they're concerned will go wrong. And let me add this, that there is the fear of being vulnerable if I'm on the outside of what I'm used to. And if I'm vulnerable, somebody might see that and take advantage of me. And that is, again, another thing. Listen, you know, many of us, we want to look brave. We don't ever want to look like we are, we don't want to ever look like we're a weakling. We always want to look like we're strong. Every last one of us. Every last one of us. That's why many of us won't ask for help. Many of us won't ask for somebody to come and get involved with something we're dealing with. Why? Because we want to act like we can do it ourselves. When we even though we know that God has put other things or other people with specialities here to help us, we want to act like we can do it by ourselves. That's why some people, they're afraid to get counseling in their marriage because they believe they can do it themselves. Some people are afraid to step out in fellowship outside of their church because they're afraid that the pastor going to find out or they're afraid they're going to come across the truth. So there are all kinds of fears that if I come from behind this property line with this electric fence, that something going to go wrong, and I'm going to have to get back in, and I don't want to have to strive and struggle to get back in.
Well, you just hit on something.
Okay,
thank you. Well, you must have heard that part, too. But you just hit on something.
I've been here for
I heard every word you just said. Now, as I started to say, you hit on something that resonates with quite a few people. I don't care where they are, where they're listening at, or what where they might be listening to, or and that is the fear factor. Now, I said this to someone, and I was ever so slightly challenged on it, so I'm going to throw this out here. Is there anybody on this line that may believe or have the belief that there is a level of faith that can trigger fear? Now, that sounds a bit tricky and a little off-kilter, but you have to think about this for a minute. Now, Jesus on one occasion, I believe it was in Matthew, made mention of the fact that we'll give account for every idle word that we speak. That lets me know right there that sometimes we are going to speak words of truth. We're going to speak words of disgrace, derogatory, things of that nature. But whatever we speak, we'll give an account for it. Now I want to say to couple that with what I'm talking about, how is it that we have come to the conclusion that we can speak faith and expect the positive to happen, but not realize that we could speak in faith the negative and open the door for the negative to manifest itself? Somebody want to challenge that? Come on.
Well, nobody wants to tell the truth. I guess I will. If you look at the Word of God, and maybe not fear is the word, but just for the sake of the way it was said, I'm going to say, yes, you can be full of faith, but get to a place of faith brings you in to a fearful moment or fearful time when you say, God, you want me to do this? God, you want me to go here? God, this is where you're taking me. We don't call it fear, but it is a fear. And really what it is a reverential fear, and also it is a fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've never been here before. I don't know how this is going to come out. So, Lord, what are you doing now? Lord, where are you taking me now? Lord, who am I supposed to deal with at this hour to take me through this? And then I want to add on to something that the both of you just got finished saying. I want somebody to understand a fit, an electric fit around your comfort zone plainly says, I'm not moving no higher, and you're not coming to take me no higher because you can't get in. I'm not coming out.
I can't get out. I like that. I like that. And I put this out there. Anybody else before I move forward? Anybody else? Nobody? Okay. Well, I put that out there. Go ahead if you're going to say something.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I forgot which phone
okay.
I was on. Go ahead.
Lord have mercy. Put the other phone down because you can't do this show and another phone at the same time. I promise you.
What,
we shift like the wind.
Okay.
She getting I know she ain't getting. She ain't getting no attitude with me. I remember I'm the older brother. Respect your elders.
Hey, yes, sir.
Anyway, let's move forward. Truthfully speaking, we already know that faith requires action, and I appreciate you, Apostle Whitlow, in what you put out there. You're 10,000% right in what you just shared. People don't go through that on a day-to-day basis. There are folk who actually, and I know folk myself, they can't function in the free world because they feel like a fish out of water. You know, I mean, they just kind of, they're flopping around, but they don't know where it is they're going. They have no guidance, nobody to show them anything. But you know what I like? The very fact that when we look at these passages of Scripture in Matthew 14, first and foremost, if we read the whole thing, and I pray that you guys will read it, so that when we come back together, we could talk about some of this. Jesus, first of all, demonstrates his power over the laws of nature. And, you know, you read about him feeding the 5,000, and then you read about him walking on the water not long after he fed the 5,000. And, you know, You know, he was deeply moved by the unfair execution of John, but, you know, he still, in the midst of ministry, he couldn't escape the crowds, the people, the problems, and all that came with us, yet he had the ability to be compassionate toward the people. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture where we find that the disciples are struggling to get across the water, and we already talked about what the water was going to represent, those daily trials, troubles, tribulations, and all that stuff, we covered that, so I'm not going to go over it again. But in the midst of it, when Jesus walks by the boat, they freak out, and that's an automatic reaction. So right here, we could see that there is a level of fear from the emotional standpoint that can grip us, that can overtake us when something is looms bigger than what we're used to or what we're able to actually handle. It will cause us to react. In this particular, they saw a ghost, and their inner man just became fearful over the fact that this image was walking in the shape, in the form of a man, and walked past them. They did not recognize it as being the Lord. God sometimes will allow us to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But even as David says, we need to remember that we have to learn, and everybody may not learn this, some later than others, some earlier than others, but we have to learn to fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. God is with us. We can talk about that. See, there's so much we could put in this organ thing, but you know what I want to get to? Peter doesn't even have to think twice when Jesus gives him two words, and these very two words, for those of you that are looking to go through the electric fence that surrounds your comfort zone, that little area that won't let you move forward and experience the fullness of God, he turns around and says to Peter, come on. That's the invitation. Come on. What's God saying to you? I'm calling you to plant another church. Yeah, you only got seven in the church that you're working in now, but I'm calling you to plant another church. I'm calling you to trust me to move you from situation A to situation B. I recognize you've been through a divorce, and I recognize that you're not used to being out on your own. I do recognize that you're where you are, and I want to take you. You're living in a shack, but I want to put you in a mansion, and you're fearful because I think you said it, Apostle Whitlow, the fear of the unknown. But the invitation to each and every one of us and to those of you that's listening today, the invitation simply is this. Come on. I see your worries. I see your concerns. I see your cares. I see what it is you're going through. I understand how you feel, but trust me and come on. This is what Jesus is saying to us, the same as he said to Peter. You know, Lord, if that be you, bid me to come. Jesus turns around and says, come, come, bring me your worries, come, bring me your concerns, come, bring me your anxieties, come, bring me your fears, come, bring me your come. This is what he's saying. Somebody please add to that, because every time I open my mouth, I feel like I'm getting ready to go to another sermon. That's a sermon all by itself, come.
The fact, hush your mouth. I already preached it.
Hey, did he tell me to hush my mouth? Wait, this is my show. This ain't making marriage meaningful. Yeah. No, go ahead.
but you said it. You said it. Jesus told him simply, come. And I think that is, a word that scares people. Because people have this mindset, we have these questions. What happens if? What if this goes wrong?
Uh-huh.
What if that happens? What if this? But Jesus simply said one word. You said he said two. He said one. He said come.
That's it. Right.
Listen, if you're bold enough, let me say this. If you're bold enough to ask God for it, be bold enough to respond to it when he says what you asked him for. See, because that's the thing. Maybe I could be off in a way. Maybe Peter was being sarcastic. Yeah, Lord, I ain't never seen you walk on no water. If that's really you, tell me to come. He said, all right, come.
Uh-huh.
And so now all of a sudden, here Peter is. He's doing something he's never done. Why?
Uh-huh.
Why is he doing something he's never done? Because he asked God for something that he's never seen before in his life.
Thank
now,
you.
Had the Lord not been there, he couldn't have done it. But when God is there, listen,
yes.
All things are possible to the one that believes.
Amen.
It was not a matter of whether it was right for him to come, but it was something that he needed to do for his own personal pleasure. Now, you know how mm-hmm. I talk about this particular passage, but I'm not going to go mm-hmm. there. It was something that he needed for himself. And only you know what you need God to do to get you to move from where you are. So when God, when God says come, when God gives you the answer, God gives you what you're looking for in your prayer, then don't sit there and look crazy and say, why is all this stuff happening? No, the Bible makes it clear that eyes have not seen.
That's
ears
right.
Have not heard. Has mm-hmm. not entered into the heart of man things that God has prepared for them that love him. Now, how do you know that Peter loved him? Because Peter asked him to do something. He didn't ask any of the other 11 who were with him. He said, Lord, you bid me come.
Bid me to come.
Jesus said, come. And the Bible says that Peter, now, mind you, this is happening in the midst of a storm.
That's exactly right. I was getting to that. Go ahead. Keep going. Keep going.
Nothing, but in the middle of something, going wrong, I'm sorry, you got to understand, I'm getting going to revival, so I'm tuning up now. In the middle of something wrong, Peter says, Lord, if it's you in the midst of everything I'm facing, I need a sign. If it's really you, I need you to work a miracle. If it's really you, I need you to answer this prayer. If it's really you, simply tell me to come. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, come. And the Bible said that he stepped out of the boat and he began to walk on the water. How did he do it? Can I tell you how he did it? He heard a word. The Bible tells me that faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. He heard a word that activated.
And what? The thing about it is, and you should get excited about this passage of scripture, because too many people have read it and just read past it and not into it. And you don't have to read far into it to understand the mindset of God. It's, this scripture right here is simply displaying, as we talk about the electric fence around your comfort zone, it's displaying to us that Peter made a solid, sound decision to completely trust the God of his salvation and the Lord Jesus Christ who stood before him as he heard the word come, C-O-M-E. He heard the word. He had the ability to do exactly what God says, because he was aware of the fact that God is not a man that he should lie, and neither is he the son of man that he should have to repent. If God says a thing, it shall come to pass. So if God's telling you to come today, take the word and run with it. Stop looking at your situations. Stop looking. I know I'm a little ahead of myself. I'll backtrack in just a minute. Stop looking at your situation. Stop looking at your circumstances. Stop looking at what kind of money you got. Stop looking at who's coming with you. That does not matter. Jesus, you and me is a majority, and even if you fall off, Jesus and me are still the majority. Come on, somebody.
Bishop, let me go this way. I wanna go to the other side of my Holy Ghost mind with my sanctified pinky toe, and I want to tell somebody that the word come really is a climatic word. So there comes a time when your faith needs to get to a climatic point. Yes. There comes a time when your faith has to get to a climatic point where it's willing to do the next best thing, and that's move from where it was to where it needs to be. Good God Almighty.
Come on now.
Come on. Can I go here? When a husband and a wife, they're being intimate with each other. They've done gone through, hallelujah, their foreplay. They've done gone through, hallelujah, that pre-stuff, yeah. And then they get down to the nitty-gritty. You know it's getting good when they get to that one word, when they come. Lord, I want to help somebody. And the idea is that you he got to a place in his faith, in his prayer, where he needed a climax, and he said, Father, is it being this? Because I'm so close to believing you. I'm so close to really trusting you. I'm so close that it's you. Just help me to get over there. Lord, if I can preach it tonight, it's just help me to come.
You know what? I ain't done. I'm enjoying. I'm just enjoying. When God gave it to me, I thought we were going one way, and we turned up going in a total different direction. But that's quite all right, because God knows what's needed. There's somebody listening that needs to hear this. There's somebody listening that needs to step out of their comfort zone, get past those boundaries, and we call it electric fences, those things that shock you back into the natural reality that you know what you're looking at. And that natural reality is full of fear. It's full of doubt. It's full of unbelief. It's full of concern. It's full of worry. That naturalness, you being shocked and brought out of it. God is trying to take you to a new place, which brings me to the last point, because we ain't got but a couple of minutes. We may end a little early tonight. It's about 11:15 Eastern Standard Time, 10:15 Central, so on and so forth. We've just discovered something without even talking about it, so I'm going to bring this up. Since Peter was the only one that even had the guts to react in faith, I'm going to say in faith, we have to keep in mind what James said in James chapter 2, verse 26. He simply said, "With faith without works is dead, being alone." Some of you can't come listening to us tonight. You can't come out of your comfort zone because you're working with dead faith. You can speak, but you can't act. And some of you can act to a certain point, but you won't speak. Dead faith will not take you anywhere. Your comfort zone is what it is because of your dead faith. Talk to me, Apostle Flight. Preach it if you have to.
I had to find the other phone again. Dead. Look here.
Lord Jesus.
Dead weight. You know, that'll preach all night. You got dead faith.
No, I ain't got dead faith. I'm just saying.
Not some people have dead faith. Not you, sir. Not you. I think Apostle Smith told me that he had to preach at a funeral, and it said, "Are you dead yet?" Or something to that effect.
Lord have mercy, only Apostle Smith.
It was something like that. Well, I just got a question. When are you going to die to your food? Are you going to let your faith kill you, or are you going to kill what's stopping you from having faith?
Good question.
You got to come to a point. You got to come to a point in your life where you got to be bold and speak those things that be not as though they are. Now we just heard the man of God give this. I mean that. Good God Almighty, that's what I said. But here's the thing, everybody. So how do we get everybody to get to that point? What must we do to get people to that point where they can say, God bid me to come. God bid me to come to you.
And I think he touched on it because basically, and Apostle Smith, we don't want to cut you out on this one if you want to throw something in. There's some things that we could look at even in these scriptures that would help us. Oh, no?
Yeah.
There are some things right here.
I'm not going to preach tonight.
You know, because that's quite all right, because like I said, we're going to go after this for the rest of the month, and then we'll start over in January, or God may allow us to keep moving with this. We don't know what God's going to do. But I'm noticing something. When Jesus bidded him to come, Peter didn't have to be told twice. And, you know, for us, it's not every day that we get to walk on the water of life and through waves that are taller than we are. And I'm speaking spiritually right now. For a lot of us, the first few steps look good, feel good, and are going well. But a few strides out into the waters of life, we tend to forget to look to the one who got us there in the first place. We forget. And I'd like to say this, and I'm going to go on record as saying this. I know Peter knows better than to be. Well, let me not say it that way. Let me say it this way. Peter, in his focus on Christ, as Christ is bidding him to come, was his sole purpose for even having the level of faith he needed to even get out and walk on the water. We are not talking about dry land, something super solid. And, you know, this in the middle of the night between 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, tired and exhausted from fighting waves for a good portion of the night. Don't know what time the revival ended. We just know that after everybody had communion or had the fish fry, everybody had probably had a case of the itis. We don't know. We'd like to believe that, you know, when we go from our blackness, oh, yeah, I said it out loud, you know, after you had a good meal, you tend to want to take a good nap after that. But they go out there and start working hard trying to get across the water. They run into this problem. Jesus turns around, tell them to calm down. It's him. Peter turns around and said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. Jesus says, come. Peter doesn't think twice about it. He just goes. So what is that saying for us today? You know, faith requires action.
Bishop Elect,
go ahead.
I heard something in that. I heard while both you and Apostle Christ were talking, and then I'm going to turn it over to Apostle Smith, that she said, and both of y'all said, faith without works is dead. I'm certain that I heard that come from you. And I was sitting here thinking to myself, the reason many people are trapped by their electric fence is because their faith is dead. But the reason their faith is dead is because they're not hearing a living word. Ooh.
Yes, I agree.
Ooh. Ooh. We see because if you're hearing a dead word, you're going to get dead faith. Dead words cannot produce living faith. Come on, help me here. Help me. Dead
You're right.
I'm thinking about preaching this now. Dead word cannot produce living faith. Jesus said these words. He says the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So therefore a living produces living faith. And we've got a lot of preachers who are giving a dead word to a people who will not receive living faith, and that's why they get stuck in their situation. Oh, they got a praise, all right, but they don't have a living faith that will come to activate what God has placed in them, and so they're wondering why they're still stuck in their situation. They're still stuck in their storm. They're stuck in a messed up place because they've been hearing a dead word. And so therefore, they're walking around with dead weight. I'm done.
Well, can I throw this on top of what you just said before you holler the done part? The dead word that they have, they thought was a living word, which was literally an anchor that's doing nothing more than pushing them further and deeper into their problem, whatever it may be. That's all I want to say.
Dead man walking.
Dead man walking, exactly. Thank you.
Let me say, it has been said for years that dead people can't hurt nobody. And so when you walk through the graveyard of Christendom, dead folk can't hurt nobody. They can't fight. They can't speak the truth of God. They have no sword. They have no power. They have no strength. They can't do nothing against the enemy. They can't do nothing against sickness. They can't do nothing against the off mind. They can't do nothing against a rotten spirit. They can't do nothing about somebody walking off and walking wrong because they're dead. And then the Bible says all of them that's hanging
is. And you know something? You just woke up something in me when you just said that, you know? Now think about this, and I'm going to say this, you know, and I'm trying to write this down so I don't forget it. And I'm going to share with you what I wrote in 12 seconds. You can start counting right now. You said dead folk can't hurt nobody. Is that right?
That's right.
Think about this. And see, you said this, and right then and there, the Holy Spirit just woke something up in me. Nobody physically, but they can affect the outcome of someone's life when they take to the grave the gifts and talents that God gave them to bless others. Somebody missed out because the grave is full of those type of treasures. People who died with gifts and talents in tow that they were supposed to minister and share and place a mantle on other people.
But brother,
I just wanted to throw
I'm
that
also,
out there.
I'm also going to say, and I understand where you're going, but I'm going to say this. We've used that crutch long enough. If you want it, you'll go get it.
You will go get it, but the one that's supposed to give it to you, usually God has
never,
to rework a plan.
They're gone now. They're gone now.
Yeah.
You
God has
you
to rework a plan.
You can't get a bone from a dog that's dead. I want you
no,
to
you
understand
can't.
Something. If that person leaves you and don't take you back, you got a God that will. We leave
exactly.
too many crutches and loopholes in the church for people to stay in the comfort zone. Tonight,
now you're going where I want to go. Now
we're
you're going where I want to go.
We're talking about coming out the comfort zone. And here's another thing I noticed. People act like they love the comfort zone. But every time the spirit gets to moving, why are you so antsy? Why are you so uncomfortable? Why you feel like you want to move and get in the power of God if you got up your electric fence?
Okay, now. See, you just touched that. That's where I wanted to go, really. Because folk are afraid to, and I know everybody has said it in one way or another, this fear of moving to the better. We're just so used to what's in front of us. We're so used to the familiarity of what it is that we're surrounded with. You know, people, it's been said that people become a product of their environment. There is a partial truth to that, but the whole truth is that you can change your environment if you so desire. The point is, and then we can turn around, I'll give you a perfect example, scriptural example, Jabez. He did not become a product of his environment. He actually prayed to change his environment. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yes. Can I give you a cold topic, if you allow me?
Go ahead.
The woman of God said to me one time after the church had seemingly looked like it was falling apart. She came here around the Bible, and she said to me, "Man of God, where are the people?" And I was explaining to her how this one and that one and the other one had left the church, had to go pastor, but and took the congregation with them. And she said, "Man of God, that ain't got nothing to do with it." And here's the cold topic. She told me, "Get off your ass and do something." And that's the problem with the comfort zone. The comfort zone is that we got too many people sitting on their posterity homes and not doing nothing for the Lord our God. At least Peter said, "Forget the comfort zone. Forget the fence. I'm going after Jesus."
Amen. Amen. Why? Because he said come. We're going to stop right there. Let's get some final comments. Since you're the baby of the bunch, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, let's start with you because we're going to need you at the end of this to get the music ready. Closing comments. Don't
well,
say you agree with everything
that,
you heard.
I just want to say that this is a great discussion because it teaches us the importance of knowing when to stay in your lane. I like the electric gate question because it gave me awareness of how important sometimes we may need to stay in our own lane. And secondly, God has us in a particular space at a particular time for a reason, and sometimes we can rush that season. So I have come to realize that what God allows you is what you can handle. And don't get me wrong, I really believe he allows us to become better and better each day.
Okay. Did you just fade on me?
Huh?
I know you faded on me, but I think I heard everything you said. But let's move forward. Apostle Flight, closing remarks, please.
The man of God said, get off your ass and do something.
I knew he was going to like that
so
part.
So you sure better do it now. Because people are dying that ain't never died before, and we don't have time.
Oh, Jesus, have mercy. I'm not messing with her today. I just ain't messing with her today, Jesus.
I'm being for real. People are dying every day that ain't never died before, so we got to look. It's time. 2022 is in a couple more days now. It might be here tomorrow.
Not too long. Yeah, huh?
So
okay.
What you going to do?
All right.
What
that I can
do?
Work
what,
with.
You going to go in 2022 with the same stuff you did in 2021? I think
not. All right. Apostle Smith?
Well, I think Apostle Flight just said it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for change?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready? Are you ready to go higher? Are you going to keep sitting in the comfy chair and mess around and be comfortable going to hell?
My goodness, think about that. Think about that. All right. Apostle Whitlow.
Well, since they done went there and they done opened it up for me, let me go ahead and say this. Don't stay on your ass so long that you have to be rolled over on your stomach when you die, because people are dying that ain't never died before. Go with God, and he will go with you.
Y'all need prayer.
Yes, and lots of it too. Lord help us. Okay. They keep talking about people have died, they have never died before. I guess so. The Bible does say it's appointed unto men once to die. So you're right, and that might have to preach there. People that died and never died before, I got to work about that. Okay, here's what I am going to say to those who basically are listening to us today. The electric fence is a representation of the boundaries that you in your own mind and in your own desire have set around yourself. There is a switch that can turn off the electricity and put you in a position where you can move forward. I'm going to close with this as long as we know, you know, you may not be the best at what you do, but if you can learn to have confidence and trust in the God of your salvation, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or even think. He's already bidded you to come. So there's an open invitation. All he wants you to do is walk by faith, not by sight. Trust him with your heart, not leaning to your understanding. Acknowledge him as you take each and every step, recognizing that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If you're willing to even do that much, the electric fence around your comfort zone will be alleviated, desecrated, and put you in a position where you can, I don't want to use the, what's that old Clark Sisters song, the sky is the limit. The sky is not the limit to what you can have. What do you want? reach for it, but reach for it in faith. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr. You've been listening to the Pastor's Corner. I want to thank my panelists, Apostle, Chief Apostle Vinton L. Smith, Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., Apostle Felicia Flight, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, the absence of our other counterparts, Pastor Henderson and Minister Henderson, and there are so many others who would probably join us in the days to come. We're going to continue this discussion next week. Why is there an electric fence around your comfort zone? Yes. Yes, sir.
Just before you close.
Go for it.
Let us be mindful starting the first Tuesday in January. The voice is moving to a new time. It will start at 9 p.m. 9 p.m. starting in January, the voice is moving to 9 p.m. I want everyone, please tell your neighbor, your friend, your enemy, your cat, and your dog to tune in at 9 o'clock. Amen. On the first Tuesday in January. Also giving a way in advance notice coming up next year, July 18th through the 24th. Want you to prepare yourself, take your vacation, take time off. The 27th Holy Convocation of the Volume of the Book, Deliverance Ministry International, is coming to New Haven, Connecticut. Amen. New Haven, Connecticut, July 18th through the 24th. And if there be any addendums we need to make to that, we will. But as it stands, we're coming to New Haven, July 18th to the 24th. Thank you so much, Bishop-elect.
Okay, and be mindful that 9 p.m. is 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central. I believe that would be somewhere around 5 or 6 p.m. Pacific. So take that into consideration. And, of course, the Making Marriage Meaningful coming up this coming – I got to get this in. Let me get this in first. I got one more to add. Making Marriage Meaningful this coming Saturday at 10 p.m. It's real, raw, relevant talk about marital situations and circumstances and how to handle them. Last but by no means least, two more things to be added, and I'm going to let you, Apostle Felicia Flight, talk about at the table. It's now Apostle Faye. So tell us a little bit about it and how we can become part of it.
You know what? I don't know why people keep saying Faye, because it's Fee, it's F-E, not Faye.
Fee, F-E.
F-E. Yes.
Not
F-A, F-E. F-E.
I'm going Spanish on that one, Faye. No,
yeah,
Faye,
I see. So every Friday at 7:30 at the table with Elder Fee, we have raw and uncut conversations. Next Friday, as a matter of fact, on the 11th, for about 15 minutes, I have asked my niece, who has dealt with depression for a number of years, to be my special guest. So next Friday, we're going to dedicate that to depression. This Friday, we're going to have a little fun. We're going to I'm going to the Hawks basketball game. So, yeah, we're going to have a little fun for a little while. And then you know, we're gonna talk a little bit. We'll talk a little bit. But every Friday at 7:30 p.m. my time at the table with Elder Fee, F-E. If you haven't joined us on social media, please do so. Please do so. We will start streaming on YouTube very soon. Very soon. Very soon. Thank you so much for allowing me that time.
That's quite all right. And last but by no means least, I do want to make mention that in November, and Dr. Kimmy Robinson give us tentative information about Elations Honors, because we are going to do that program again November of next year. So we're letting you know ahead of time. We ain't sitting around just doing nothing. Can you give us some tentative information? I know we don't have a place, but give us an
not
idea
of what
we can look forward
to. I will have more
to.
Information next week. I'm sorry.
All right.
I will have
That's
more
no
information
problem.
Next
That's
week.
No problem.
Yes.
No problem. No problem at all. I thought you had some, so we'll leave what we have and on the table until we can clarify. And then in January, starting January, we're going to do this every Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. Power to Stand Outreach is going to do our early morning prayer. We're going to start with Wednesday midweek early morning prayer, 6 a.m. It's a time you can come on. You're welcome to join us, but understand this is not the Volume of the Book conference prayer line. That's at 12 noon, Monday through Friday. This is Power to Stand's morning prayer. We could call it Morning Glory, but we got so many Morning Glories out there. We know it's glory. We're just going to say morning prayer. Keep it simple. You know the kiss situation. I don't need to say it, right? Anyway, let's move forward. We thank each and every one of you for joining us, for being part of this podcast today. We bless God for you. We look forward to seeing you next week and talking with us next week as we continue the conversation on why is there an electric fence around your comfort zone. For the Pastor's Corner, I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richards saying the peace of God go with you. The blessing of God be upon you. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, you may play that track.
About the trees and vines, but it's about joy. Friends and family all gathered together, but I just wanna know, do they really know?
Your life, the ultimate sacrifice.